Welcome to the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks. Hosted by Beth Burschak, with expert advice from Jim Lang, Pittsburgh-based CPA, attorney, and retirement and estate planning expert. Jim is also the author of Retire Secure, Pay Taxes Later. To find out more about his book, his practice, Lang Financial Group, and how to secure Jim as a speaker for your next event, visit his website at retiresecure.com. Now, get ready to talk smart money.
We are talking smart money, and thank you for joining us this evening. I am Beth Burschak. We have a great guest with us today. So much to cover tonight. First of all, of course, Jim Lang, who is a CPA, an attorney, and the best-selling author of Retire Secure, Pay Taxes Later. And our guest, Paul Merriman, checking in from Seattle. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Beth. It's great to be with you guys.
We are so glad that you joined us. And you have so many things going on, I don't even know where to start. Let's start with you're the founder of Merriman, an investment advisory firm. And as I mentioned, you guys are based in Seattle. You're also the author of several books, including Live It Up Without Outliving Your Money, Getting the Most from Your Investments in Retirement. When did that book come out, Paul?
Well, the original book came out in 2005, but last summer it was updated for new information and a few new recommendations. So it's really about a year old at this point.
You are also editor and publisher of FundAdvice.com, which you call an educational website. And I have to say I've been on it, and that is the truth. You have videos, you have a Q&A blog, you have online workshops, and you also are the host of SoundInvesting.com, which is your own weekly online radio show, which Money Magazine rated the number one money podcast for 2008. So congrats on that one.
Thank you.
All right, and you are joining us for the next hour. I do want to mention that Jim and Paul are willing to take questions tonight. So if you have a question, go ahead and call anytime during the hour at 412-333-9385. And I know, Paul, that Jim wanted to get started with the safe withdrawal rate.
Well, before I wanted to do that, I just wanted to tell our audience, you know, how lucky they are to have Paul's wisdom. Paul is just one of the classiest guys around. His firm, by the way, and maybe it's down a little bit since I've talked with him last, manages $1 billion of assets. And he's just such a straight shooter and a trusted member of the financial community. We're really honored to have you, Paul.
That's very kind. Thank you, Jim. And it's absolutely an honor to work with you guys, too. I have been recommending your book heartily. And look forward to having an extra long conversation with you one of these days on the air.
Well, good. The other thing that I'll say about your book, Paul, and I actually think that this is a very high compliment, is not only is it a terrific book, but the book, and you could tell me if I'm wrong, but the book is really you. It's not like when you wrote the book, it seems to me that you went to the library and did a lot of research and then came up with it. This looks and feels like the kind of advice that you've been giving to your clients for over the last 30 years, and you've just taken some of the best of it and put it in the book and then have also charts and graphs to back up your advice. But I just think it's outstanding how you kind of integrate your personality and your wisdom in your book.
Well, I appreciate that, and as I think you know, Jim, what we're trying to do is to bring the best academic research we know to readers in a very simple way. So if we accomplish that, we will have succeeded.
All right, great. I'll tell you the one of the areas that you cover in the book that a lot of authors and financial advisors are afraid to cover, and something that I consider pretty tough stuff, but I actually think it's critical today, is what I will call the withdrawal rate or sustainable withdrawal rate. So what I mean by that is you have a certain amount of money in your portfolio to make a nice even number, let's say $1 million. And the question then becomes how much money you can withdraw as a practical matter, stay safe, you never want to run out of money, that's probably the number one goal, but at the same time, you don't want to be so frugal that you can't really enjoy the money that you have accumulated. So why don't I just, at first, I'm going to have a few more specific questions, But why don't I just first throw that out and say, how would you approach a real client situation who comes in to you and says, okay, and I'm not even talking necessarily about investment choices, because I'm, although that's certainly related, but how would you approach the question of how much money I can safely spend if I have $1 million?
Well, now, I love this question, because the answer is $40,000 or $75,000. It's up to you.
Okay, $75,000.
Yes,
next
exactly.
question.
But there's a bit of a price to pay for that. This is not uncommon for somebody to have a set amount of money, and then $1 million is easy to think through, and their cost of living above and beyond whatever, let's say, their pension might pay them or something, might, let's say it's $40,000. And so they need that $1 million to be supporting that $40,000 a year distribution. But let's call that just their basic cost of living. Let's say that's not their live it up approach. Well, what if they worked for 5 more years? What if they put away more money over those 5 years and the portfolio grew at some reasonable rate of return? It is absolutely possible that instead of $1 million, they have $1.5 million. Now, you see, at the million, they had the just getting by $40,000 that had to be adjusted each year for inflation, let's just assume 3.5%. Well, their cost of living hasn't changed just because they have a whole bunch more money. But now they can legitimately take 5% of $1.5 million or $75,000 instead of the $40,000. So it really depends on whether you're just, it's the just getting by strategy, or it's when you have saved more than you really need, which I think is the greatest luxury, financial luxury, in retirement.
Jim and Paul, are you taking into account the age of the client when you determine that rate?
Well, you know, that's what I was using the example of somebody who comes in who might be 60 and they work for 5 more years. Now, Beth, you have just, I think you've hit the nail right on the head. I'm 65 and I plan to work at least another 15 years. Let's
wow.
say I only make it 10 more. At that point, and I've always been a saver since I was 11 years old, at that point, I could take out 8% a year, and it would not endanger the ability of that money to last me for the rest of my life. So your point is well taken. How many years you're likely to live, which could even include your health. If you're a single person and you're in poor health, well, maybe you want to enjoy a higher percentage distribution because you're not expected to live that much longer.
Let me ask you this, Paul. You went from 4% to 5% to 8%, depending on the age. And I have a couple sources that I use myself in practice. Is there any particular source that you have, you know, where there in effect is a chart of your life expectancy and then your safe withdrawal rate that you use? Or is this something that you've developed yourself over time?
Well, let's just, it is something we've developed, Jim, but let's just think this through for a second. If you start at $1 million and you could have gotten by on a 4% distribution, and instead of retiring then with $1 million, you work 5 more years until you have $1.5 million. Well, there are a couple of things that have happened. Number one, you have a lot more money. Number two, you have fewer years to live, so the money doesn't have to go so far. Now, here's the last, I think, important decision. I contend that if you take money out on a variable basis, and now what I'm talking about there is not taking out 6% and the next year 6% plus inflation. No, you don't need to take out that much money. Remember, your cost of living was only $40,000, $45,000 a year. And now you're up to $1.5 million, and you take out $75,000. That's your live-it-up retirement, not your basic retirement. So let's say the market goes down to $1.3 million. Now you take 6% of $1.3 million. You've taken a cut in pay, still more money than you need. but you've taken a cut in pay from what you got the prior year because the market went down. And when you self-adjust like that, then what you do is you do the most important thing that I know, and that is get defensive. You can get defensive in how much you take out percentage-wise. You can get defensive in whether you use a fixed or a variable distribution. These are hugely important decisions. If I'm confusing your listeners, I'm going to try to point them to an article they might read. But the point is that you've got some decisions that have a huge impact on whether you take 4 or 5 or 6.
Hey, Paul, can you hang on? And we're going to ask you for that article here in just a minute. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, if you can guide us to that article, that would be great. It's the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks.
The Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks, featuring the expert advice of Pittsburgh-based CPA attorney Jim Lang. More coming up on KQV AM 1410. The Lang Money Hour continues on KQV AM 1410. For all of your financial needs, turn to Lang Financial Group in Squirrel Hill, 412-521-2732. Let's talk more smart money.
Talking smart money, I'm Beth Borshak with Jim Lang and our guest tonight, Paul Merriman, checking in from Seattle, founder of Merriman, an investment advisory firm, and the author of Live It Up Without Outliving Your Money. Quickly to the studio line, if you have a question, is 412-333-9385. And before the break, we were talking about safe withdrawal rate, what you can actually take out so that you don't outlive your money. And Paul, you were about to give us a link to an article so that people could check this out on their own.
Yeah, what they should do, Beth and Jim, is to go to fundadvice.com. That's our home, the home page there at FundAdvice. On the right-hand side of the page is a list of must-read retirement articles. And the one that I'm referring to is entitled Retirement, When Your Portfolio Starts Paying You.
Is this also one of your videos? Because you have a lot of videos online, too. You call them episodes.
I don't think I've done one on that. It is part of the DVD that we have done. In fact, there's a brand new DVD coming out in a few weeks. It's a three-hour piece that we've done, and it's in there. But if they'll read that article, I think they'll get a very good sense of what we're trying to get them to do.
And I don't know if that's the same article as Chapter 13 in your book, but I thought that that chapter was really, if not the best, certainly one of the best discussions I've ever read about safe withdrawal rates.
That is basically the same discussion, although in the book, in some ways, when you write a book, you have to focus on the whole book, not just on the pieces. And so sometimes a book is an easier thing to read than an individual article. But I want to make one very important point. It is easy to have formula approaches to distributions, to asset allocation, how much in stocks, how much in bonds, depending on your age. That is never going to be as good an answer as somebody, and you know this from your business, Jim, as when somebody sits down and listens to your particular set of risk tolerance, desire to spend, and it isn't just the desire for one person to spend, it's normally a couple. And one is a saver, and one is a spender, and that takes some listening and some questions and some talking, and so there is no simple formula.
And not only that, there's so many individual situations. So, for example, one of the things that I just ran into, and I'd be interested in your take on it, is I had a client, and I'm going to simplify the facts, and we were talking, and they had $1 million, and they wanted to spend considerably more than $40,000 or even $50,000. And they were just really in a panic because their portfolio had gone down recently, and they wanted to spend more, and they didn't think that they wanted to spend more than the safe withdrawal rate. But they had significant equity. In fact, they had a paid-off house, and it was well in excess of $500,000. And what I said was, well, I know you don't want to sell the property, and that's fine. And I know at this time you don't want to mortgage the property or get a reverse mortgage on the property, But let's use at least a portion of that equity in the back of our mind to determine a safe withdrawal rate. And I don't know if you ever would allow that type of calculation, but I actually, after we were done, we did end up spending, or allow the spending, if you will, of more money than just the formulaic amount based on safe withdrawal rate, knowing that at some point in the future, they could either sell, mortgage, or I don't particularly like reverse mortgages because of fees, because I'm cheap, but they were able to maintain the lifestyle that they wanted because they, in the back of their mind, they knew that they could tap into this real estate. I don't know if you would consider that a sound piece of advice.
I think that's absolutely sound, Jim. I think that is the kind of thing you can't create a simple formula for it, and we always have to deal with what people want and what they need. And I have two teenagers, and they want what they want when they want it. and adults are like that too. And so what we always have to do is we have to figure out some way to legitimately justify and prepare them for the future. You could have just let them take more, but what you've done that I think is very good is you set it up so that in the future they know that if they spend this money now, they're going to have to give up an asset in order to protect their total portfolio for the rest of their life. Let me just suggest one other possibility there, and that is, let's say somebody did have to cut back to 4%. Well, and that felt like it was a sacrifice, but they wanted to have some hope for the future. What I've done in a number of cases is set people up at $1 million, 4%. When it gets to $1.25 million, they get to take out 4.5%. When it gets to $1.5 million, they get to take out 5%. You see, they've got some hope that they're under a certain set of conditions, they're going to be able to spend more in the future. So I think what you've done is very smart, and I'm sure that couple is very happy they met you.
Well, all right. Well, thank you. Let me ask you a tougher question. I often get clients who come in and say, hey, look, you know, we're in our mid-60s, our health is both very good, and even though we expect to live, you know, maybe even 30 years, it makes more sense for us to do our traveling, to have some of our fun money, and to spend a little bit more now on the theory that, well, when we're much older, we might have some physical restrictions, we might not be able to travel as well as we might. Is that something that flies with you, or are you just a little bit too conservative to put up with that kind of talk?
No, I think that's realistic. And again, the beauty of having an advisor is that you set down the plan, and then on a regular basis, you review and find out whether, for example, like if the market did again what it did last year, that is going to require people to adjust. And you have to adjust to that. The reality is that the majority of people, when they retire, actually spend in their early years after retirement more than they made before they retired. So those of us who are trying to give guidance to folks are going to have to understand that there is a reason why this happens. On the other hand, as people get a little older, the cost of living tends to go down. And then, of course, later it goes up again because of medical costs. So there's a likely cycle here that does, in theory, recommend a little more spending early, then a little less, and then eventually a little more. What you've got to be careful is that you don't allow people to get so far in and the market and their portfolio go against them that they can't ever recover. And that's the dangerous point is, got to be careful we don't allow people to do that, because folks, when the markets are up, people have a tendency to be very hopeful and bullish and, yes, I can take high risk, and then the market goes down and that risk tolerance changes and all of a sudden they've panicked and they've reconstructed their portfolio to be very conservative where very little money can be taken out. And if they've spent too much early on, they've put themselves behind the eight ball. So this is not just a solution for the next year. It's a you got to be working on that solution constantly over the years, health, wealth, and happiness.
And I will mention that you have said two things that fly in the face of conventional wisdom that I happen to agree with on both counts. One, you said that you should be adjusting your spending as time and your portfolio change, because the traditional view is that 4% and then next year 4% plus inflation. And you're saying, wait, let's be a little bit more realistic. If there's a change, and particularly a change in the market, you should change your expectations and change your withdrawal rates, which is not the traditional view. And the other thing that you said that flies in the face of traditional advice that I absolutely agree with is that you're going to spend more money, particularly in the early years of retirement, than when you were working.
How does that happen? Really, you guys?
Well, one is people have put off a lot of things around the house.
Oh, okay.
And there's a lot of money spent on the house after retirement.
Okay.
That's one. Two, a lot of travel takes place early on in retirement. Golf is more expensive early on in retirement. And then all these things tend to settle in after they have had this a little radical enjoyment of their retirement. But you know something, if I could share a personal story, I am a saver. I wore the same tie for over a decade. Now, on my 65th birthday, I was doing a workshop, and we cut my tie in two. And we decided, I know that age has some advantages, and experience has some advantages, so I don't have to wear a tie anymore except to weddings and funerals. So I'm very frugal. On the other hand, I'm married to a lady who really enjoys spending money. She loves to give it away. I do too, by the way, but she loves to spend money on clothes and art and travel. And that is not the way I am. And I've been the way I am all my life. She's been the way she is all her life. Now we have to solve this problem. How does she have the right to spend more where I am? When the market goes down, then I really get kind of tense. I'm a person who does not like to lose money. And so I want to become very frugal when the market goes down. Well, my wife and I have agreed that when I retire, that when the market goes up, because we're going to take this variable or flexible strategy and take 6% of whatever it's worth, if the market goes up, and it goes up 2 out of 3 years historically, she gets to have a raise. She gets to spend more money.
Well, that's fun.
But she understands my inner self crying when the market goes down for me and for my clients. And so when the market goes down, she says, look, we'll take 6% of a lower number, which gives me some sense of security. So when I mentioned before it's about health and happiness and all of this, you know what it also is about is finding the right strategy that gives the individual a sense of security. The job is gone. You can't make up for a mistake that you've made by overspending or improperly investing. It's got to be done right.
Now, I have one quick question before we take a break, and that is, you two have been talking about adjusting your spending once you retire and using different rates, but how often should you revisit that? In your practices, how often do you revisit that with your clients? Do you it yearly?
I think yearly is a good way to plan, but I can tell you that it's the nature of some people that they want to do that quarterly. It's just their nature. It's their way of checking in to make sure they're okay. And you can imagine with this recent market decline how much anxiety there is. People are afraid. They don't have the confidence. They don't have the trust. And so they are requiring today a lot more time and effort on the part of our advisors than they did in the big bull market.
All right, we're going to take a really quick break here. We have Paul Merriman, Jim Lang. It is the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks.
The Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks, featuring the expert advice of Pittsburgh-based CPA attorney Jim Lang. More coming up on KQV AM 1410. The Lang Money Hour continues on KQV AM 1410. For all of your financial needs, turn to Lang Financial Group in Squirrel Hill, 412-521-2732. Let's talk more smart money.
Talking more smart money, I'm Beth Bershock with Jim Lang and our special guest today checking in from Seattle, Paul Merriman. Just a minute ago, though, I wanted to tag on something here because you may have heard us talking there for a second about the next workshop, which is coming up on Saturday, May 16th. And we have just added another one in June. These are going so well, and we're actually reaching capacity. We've been doing these since February. This is two new tax laws that create shocking opportunities for wealth preservation. So the next one is Saturday, May 16th. We are venturing up into Butler. So if you're up in that area, this is a chance to check out this information. Four Points by Sheraton and two seminars, 9:30 to 11:30 in the morning, 1 to 3 in the afternoon. If you'd like to RSVP to that one, 1-800-748-1571. I honestly would do it soon because, as I mentioned, we have been reaching capacity in these workshops. The next one is coming up on June 20th, also a Saturday, Crown Plaza across from South Hills Village. Now, if you would like to RSVP to that one now, you can do that by calling 412-521-2732. That's the office number, so you can call to register for either one of those workshops. It's just great information. And also, when you attend, you get a free copy of Jim's book, Retire Secure, Pay Taxes Later. And Jim wanted to, one more point about the safe withdrawal rate with Paul.
Right now, we are kind of cautioning readers or listeners not to spend too much money, but it can also go the other way. I have some older clients who are extremely frugal relative to their portfolios. And one of the people who are like that is actually my mother. And at 92 years old, she can probably afford to spend a little bit more money than she does. And when we were, you know, we were planning this trip to New York, I was going to take her to New York and show her some of the different sites and some concerts and entertainment venues, etc. And she started talking about getting this scarf at Saks Fifth Avenue. And that was, she really was centered on getting this scarf at Saks Fifth Avenue. And the last day we were in New York, we were running all over the place and we were running late. And I didn't even know if we were to make it to Saks. But finally we made it to Saks, you know, pretty, really within like 10 minutes of them closing up. And we finally got in the door, we got to the scarf department, and she saw a lovely scarf, and I said, great, let's just buy it. And then she said, how much, to the salesperson? And I'm shaking my head to the salesperson, don't answer her, don't answer her. Anyway, he said $200, and she said, absolutely not, there's no way I would ever pay $200 for a scarf.
Yeah.
And I said, Mom, it's a beautiful silk scarf. You've been talking about getting a scarf at Saks Fifth Avenue. Here we are in New York. We're not going to have another chance. I wanted to buy you this scarf. I'm going to buy you this scarf and just enjoy it and take it. And she said, absolutely not. Never, never. You can't get that scarf.
So she doesn't have the scarf, I'm guessing.
Well, actually, she doesn't. But we started to walk away. And I said, just excuse me for 1 second. I have to do something. And she said, don't you go back there and buy that scarf, which is exactly what I was going to do. So it sometimes works the other way. And I sometimes have the issue, or it's a good problem, of telling people, okay, you have a lot of resources that you could be spending more money. You know, some people are very interested in getting the absolute top dollar to their children and grandchildren. But some people say, well, that would be nice, but that's not my major concern. And then they're still spending far less than their safe withdrawal rate. So
yeah.
I will say that I also have clients, and I'm going to say a good chunk of them, maybe even close to 50%, that have those kind of issues. And then they hear the media and they don't apply it to their own situation, and they're actually, I think, living more frugally than they would have to.
Well, it's what a lot of our practice is about. And I can tell you from my experience, in many cases, it's a matter of establishing a relationship with the client so that they trust that when you say it's okay, it's really okay. Remember, we make less money in managing their money if we encourage them to spend it. So it's to our disadvantage. But I sat with a couple that had been a client, they had been clients for many years, and I said to them one night, I was at their home, I said, isn't there any dream, an unfulfilled dream, that you have not been able to do for some reason, I don't know, because it can't be about money. And they thought and they thought, and finally the wife said, I've never been to Europe, I've never been to Paris. And I said, oh, my God, you've got enough money and petty cash to go to Paris. and I turned to Sam. I said, Sam, what about you? Is there not something that you have wanted that you didn't buy just because it felt too expensive? And he was very quiet. And finally he said, you've got a very deep voice. He said, I've always wanted a motorcycle. And I went, oh, my God, you know, here you are in your 60s, and you've never had a motorcycle. Well, I can tell you that those people, she says that every time now she goes in to get another airline ticket to go on a trip, that she remembers the night that she changed her mind about being able to enjoy her money.
So she went to Paris.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
She did, and they have three motorcycles now. and the only difference is it took them to trust that there was going to be enough. And one of the reasons that we bury people with numbers, I know I get a lot of criticism from people on our staff that I'm too much about numbers, but I want people to see what it looks like on paper and to pretend that's you. Pretend you're living through that process. How would you feel? And if we can ever get past that point, get them to trust it and to feel it and be okay with it, I think they will start spending. Including your mother. I want to talk to her.
I don't know about that. Jim hasn't been able to convince her all of this time. I'm not so sure. 412-333-9385 is the studio line. I want to take a quick break. We're with Paul Merriman, Jim Lang. And when we come back, can we touch on common mistakes that investors make? Because there are so many in different categories, and I'd love to touch on that. It is the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks.
The Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks, featuring the expert advice of Pittsburgh-based CPA attorney Jim Lang. More coming up on KQV AM 1410. The Lang Money Hour continues on KQV AM 1410. For all of your financial needs, turn to Lang Financial Group in Squirrel Hill, 412-521-2732. Let's talk more smart money.
Thank you so much for joining us this evening. I'm Beth Burschak with Jim Lang and our guest, Paul Merriman, founder of Merriman, an investment advisory firm based in Seattle, author of Live It Up Without Outliving Your Money. And studio line, if you'd like to check in, is 412-333-9385. Common mistakes investors make, and I'm sure that both of you see them all of the time. First question is, both of you, what do you think is the number one mistake?
Jim, you want to go first?
Well, I would say that people's emotions take over their logic, or what logic would dictate. And so, for example, right now, a lot of people are in a tizzy, and they are sometimes inappropriately converting to cash, and they do not have faith in the long-term ability of the markets to recover. And sometimes with a 30-year retirement, going to cash isn't conservative. It's just almost silly. So, and likewise in the good times, I've seen people go into the dot-com companies and do things that logic would also say is not a very good idea. So I would say that the biggest mistake is letting your emotions take over your logic. And I think actually. And I actually read something by Nick Murray, which was pretty interesting. And he said one of the benefits of having an advisor, in addition to presumably to the advisor knowing a couple things that you do, is that the advisor is presumably objective and doesn't let emotions take over, and provides objective advice.
unfortunately, many of those advisors do let emotions take over themselves and the advice that they give, which drives me nuts, because that's their real value, is being able to stay the course. And may I recommend to your listeners that there's a book, I just love this book. It's called Your Money and Your Brain by Jason Zweig, and I hope you get him on as a guest one of these days, Jim and Beth, because I just think his view, his way of helping you understand the expense, the costliness of letting your emotions take over. I have struggled with this question, and this question about the biggest mistake. And just today, we filmed a YouTube piece. It won't be up for probably a week. And it is, the headline will be something like, the most important investment decision that we make. And it has to do with the biggest mistake that we make, and that is who we trust. Most people trust the wrong source of information. There is absolutely no evidence that we should trust Wall Street. Now, that may be rather harsh. That may be unkind to people we love. Maybe we have a child who's a stockbroker. But I don't care. There's no evidence. When I look at ethics and I look at competence, both at the brokerage broker end and the Wall Street firm end and all of those things, I do not conclude I can trust them. I also can't trust the person that many of you trust. That's a friend at work. That's a relative. That's somebody who you think they have your best interest at heart, and I understand that, and you take their advice on how to invest. Main Street is just as bad, if not worse, than Wall Street.
But
what are we left with? Well, we're also left with Jim Cramer. We're left with the media. We're left with Money Magazine. We had Knight Kiplinger on our radio show today. We recorded him, and he'll be on this weekend. But Knight Kiplinger is running a publication whose job it is really to sell advertising. Now, they give great advice. I don't mean that. But I would not trust a publication to guide me through my financial life, which leaves me with one place to go that I see. That is the academic community. That if there's any place that we can trust that they have been working in our best interest, trying to get us into mutual funds with low expenses, trying to get us into index mutual funds, trying to get into mutual funds that have high tax efficiency, mutual funds that have low turnover, the right asset classes. So when I think this through, I think the biggest mistake we make, it's not even in my book. It is in there in a way, I guess on page 6 about trusting institutions, but I think we have to find the right people to trust that truly have our best interest at heart.
Now, those mistakes that you two just mentioned really apply to all investors, any age. But I know, Paul, that you think there are some unique mistakes for certain categories. Can we start with the retired investor? What do you think the biggest mistake is that they usually make?
Well, I think that there are a number of big mistakes. Many of them have no plan. They had a plan to get to retirement, financial plan, but they have no plan in retirement. And Jim, as you know, many of them do not take money out in a tax-efficient way. Many of them take too little risk. Many take too much risk. All of these things are important mistakes that retirees make. And I think a lot of it is the mistakes are made because, again, people, they know they can't re-earn this money, and so they tend to seize up and probably take too little risk, which is going to cost them because the money's not likely to last. Now, what would you say in the retirement area, Jen, that is the biggest risk, mistake?
I would say two things. First, I think they sometimes underestimate the number of years that they're going to need the money.
Ah, right.
So they, you know, they just say, well, I'm 60 years old, you know, I might need the money for 20 years. Well, what happens if that 60-year-old is now 79? Does that mean he thinks he has 1 year to live? So I think sometimes underestimating the number of years. The second thing that I would say, and this is particularly true of, let's call it, wealthier, more frugal clients, is assuming that all the money is for them and investing all their money, even let's say people who are older. So sometimes people, you know, take that formula, well, I'm 70 years old, therefore I should have 70% of my money in fixed income. And what I would sometimes tell them is, and let's even say this is particularly true for people who have way more money than they're ever going to spend, that might be appropriate if you had A, less money, and B, no family. But you have a lot of money and you have a family. So maybe what might be appropriate is to invest perhaps half the money as if you were 70 years old and it was solely for you. And then maybe a portion of the money, whether depending on circumstances, not like a 70-year-old would invest it, but like a 45-year-old who is the age of your children would invest it, because that way you're really kind of getting a more family-oriented approach. Now, obviously, I'm never going to put an older client at risk by having too aggressive an allocation, but I think so many of them have such conservative allocations. And the other thing that I would say is I think sometimes they don't take into consideration the other sources of income available to them. So, for example, if you are a teacher on a pension, or even not a teacher, anybody with a pension, that pension, in a way, can be looked at as a bond, because it's a guaranteed income that's going to come in year after year. And if you have money to invest, rather than just going by, let's say, some type of formula in terms of stocks and bonds, you should consider your pension or even your Social Security the equivalent of a bond. So sometimes people invest too conservatively, not taking into consideration either the next generation or some of their own resources that they have in the way of pensions or Social Security.
Well, I think your point is spot on, and it's interesting because both of our books, in a sense, are aimed at trying to get not only the best you can for your life, but as you, I think you may know, my last chapter is entitled My 500-Year Plan.
Yeah, I was surprised, Paul. I thought you were a long-term player and that you would do a 1,000-year plan. You kind of disappointed
me
there, Paul.
She asked me why I only went to 500. I said, I don't think anybody will believe 1,000. But let me, there's one other, and by the way, your book is all about making it last. I think that is a wonderful thing about your book. But I will mention one other mistake I see made very often by successful business people or successful investors. They forget that there's a big difference between how you invest to be successful up to retirement and the changes that need to be made in retirement. It is very important that we start including the defense. It's not just about offense anymore. It's also about defense.
How about common mistakes? Because so many people have 401ks. Common mistakes that 401k investors make.
Well, I might want to throw in a quick word here, because I would say one of the biggest mistakes that is sometimes irrevocable, something that you can't take back, is when they retire, and sometimes the less than perfect or perhaps inappropriate investment advisor approaches them, they don't take into consideration two things. One is net unrealized appreciation, which is a special category of investments if somebody has any company stock in the company that they have been working on, which is granted favorable tax status, but a lot of investors never know about it, and they just lose that favored status. The other thing is they don't know about or don't do anything with the after-tax portion of money in their retirement plan. And that is a big one, and particularly today, there is a method for a lot of taxpayers to get this after-tax dollars in a retirement plan, which, by the way, is conceptually the same as a non-deductible IRA. So all you non-deductible IRA owners, you should be listening to this point too. There will be a way, and not for everybody, and I don't have time to go through the mechanics and to go through the whole thing, which by the way I do cover in that in those workshops, because I think that's a very valuable tool.
And we will give you details on those workshops coming up, too, in just a couple of minutes.
Where you can actually take the after-tax dollars of a retirement plan or a non-deductible IRA and convert that to a Roth IRA without paying the taxes. And we found over a 40-year period, if you have as little as $50,000 in those vehicles, that you or your family member could be $500,000 better off, and the cost to you is nothing.
Wow.
Yeah, that's terrific. Wow, there you go. That's right. That's all you can say.
You know,
wow.
I want a request here. I saw one of your presentations many years ago on video. I sure hope that you're going to let those of us who are out here in the hinterlands see what you're doing and get a video camera there and take a picture of it.
Oh, we've done it. We actually have video posted on the website, retiresecure.com. But we can get you the whole thing, Paul, if you want it.
No, that would be wonderful.
But I think what Paul really wants, which is what we have in process, is we've actually brought in a professional crew when we do this two-hour presentation on Roth IRAs and Roth IRA conversions. And we are going to be making that available to the general public as well as to financial advisors, so financial advisors can put on their own workshops using much of this information as the core of their presentations.
It is great info, and it is on the way. We need to take one more quick break. The Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks.
The Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks, featuring the expert advice of Pittsburgh-based CPA attorney Jim Lang. More coming up on KQV AM 1410.
Life insurance can be an excellent method of protecting your IRAs and retirement plan. In his best-selling book, Retire Secure, Jim Lang devotes an entire chapter to survivorship insurance and how to use it in conjunction with other plans. Of course, it's important to know if you're a good candidate. And if so, what is the appropriate type and amount of insurance for your family? It's also important to name the right owner of the policy. It will not likely be you. And to name the correct beneficiary. A mistake could be devastating. If you'd like to explore the possibilities of life insurance, have an existing policy reviewed, or integrated into a more complete package, call Jim for a free evaluation. Jim is a CPA, attorney, and licensed insurance provider in Pennsylvania. Let Jim assess your needs and recommend a course of action. Call toll-free 800-387-1129. Discover how life insurance can be an important part of your retirement plan. 800-387-1129 or retiresecure.com.
The Lang Money Hour continues on KQV AM 1410. For all of your financial needs, turn to Lang Financial Group in Squirrel Hill, 412-521-2732. Let's talk more smart money.
I'm Beth Bershock with Jim Lang and our guest from Seattle, Paul Merriman. And we were just discussing right before the break, Jim mentioned one of our upcoming seminars. We have two, and I want to give those to you quickly because they are filling to capacity. So you should RSVP as soon as you can. Two new tax laws create shocking opportunities for wealth preservation. The next ones are coming up on Saturday, May 16th, Four Points by Sheridan, Pittsburgh North, 9:30 to 11:30 in the morning, 1 to 3 in the afternoon. So you can pick one. It's the exact same workshop both times. Call 1-800-748-1571. And we're going to be back at Crown Plaza right across from South Hills Village on Saturday, June 20th. Same times. For that RSVP, call 412-521-2732. By the way, you can also check this out on our website, retiresecure.com. 412-521-2732. All right, we were talking with Paul Merriman, and I just wanted to real quickly see, Paul, if you had any other comments on, we were talking about common mistakes investors make.
Well, you know, we talked about retirees. Let me make a comment about pre-retirees, because there are many more of those than there were a year ago right now because of this market. Very often I find pre-retirees who have enough money that they could retire now, but they're working maybe because of health insurance, maybe because they like what they do, maybe because of a pension, but they're taking too much risk. If they are at a point where they could lower the risk to that of a retiree and still be okay, I would want them to consider that, because there may not be any particular gain for exposing yourself to more pain. So be careful that you don't take more risk than you should longer than you should have to.
And I will throw out a distinction between a pre-retiree and a retiree and common mistakes. Let's say that you are a pre-retiree, you're maybe even at the height of your earning power, and sometimes you get confused about IRAs and Roth IRAs, and you become very interested in Roth IRAs and Roth IRA conversions, when at that point in your career, when you're likely to be in the highest tax bracket that you've ever been in, you should be more interested in traditional 401ks, where for the retiree, that's sometimes the best time to get involved in Roth IRAs and Roth IRA conversions. In fact, the seminars that Beth are talking about are going to be, to some extent, centered around the possibilities of making Roth IRAs and Roth IRA conversions, with the two very special years being 2009, where people over 70 will have no minimum required distributions, which means a lower income tax base, which means a wonderful opportunity to make a Roth IRA conversion, and 2010, where there is no income limitation on taxpayers, so anyone, regardless of income, will have the opportunity to make a Roth IRA conversion.
Okay, believe it or not, we have 2 minutes left. I have one quick question for Paul. I'm sure you get this question constantly, but what are your expectations for the market the next year, the next 5 years, the next 10 years? What do you think?
Well, let me tell you that over the next 10 years, I think the market's going to be very profitable. Let me tell you why. Number one, if you look at the history of the market going back to the 1800s, and you look at the 10-year rolling periods, we just went through the worst 10-year rolling period in the history of the last almost 200 years. And historically, when you have gone through these very sizable declines, out the other side of that, whether you invested a year before the bottom, at the bottom, or a year after the bottom, the returns average from 10 to 13% in the stock market. And by the way, that's in the kind of the S&P 500. And we know that historically small cap and value do much better than that. If we look at the 40-year studies, the one-year studies, everything would tell you the next 5 to 10 years should be very, very good. People don't believe that because they're afraid. They think that there's a lot of risk out there. You're right, there's a lot of risk out there. That's when the biggest returns, the biggest premiums for investing come when risk is high. You want low risk? It's called a CD. You want to get a higher rate of return in part of your portfolio? History has it that the stock market for the next 5 to 10 years should be very, very profitable.
Okay, I'm happy to hear that. Hey, Paul, thank you so much for joining us. You have been full of wonderful information. I want to guide people to your Fund Advice website, because I was on it, and there's just such great information and resources there. It's fundadvice.com. Our website is retiresecure.com, and when we are back on May 6th, we're going to be talking about Jim's estate plan, Lang's cascading beneficiary plan. Hey, thank you again, Paul. We appreciate it.
Yes, and thank you, Jim.
Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks.
Thanks for listening to the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks. Portions of the audio that you just heard will be posted online at retiresecure.com. You can also find a list of upcoming events and topics at retiresecure.com. To seek Jim's advice personally or to speak to a member of his dedicated staff at Lang Financial Group in Squirrel Hill, call 412-521-2732. Join us again in 2 weeks when we talk more smart money.